Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
All right, good afternoon. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Aero Precision.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Check them out at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Let me clear my throat, too. Goodness. The drama. We have this. Today, the Suicide Prevention and Response Independent Review Committee, or SPRIC, released their independent report providing their findings and recommendations. This is coming from the DOD this past Friday. The Department of Defense has taken note of the SPRIC's work and will use it to enhance their current approach in three key priority areas. These include fostering quality of life, building healthy climates and cultures, addressing stigma as a barrier to help seeking, and promoting a culture of lethal means safety, whatever that is. So, this means focusing on the guns, and considering that's what the majority of service suicides used in their lives, that's understandable. What's arguable, though, is that whether putting the major emphasis on means neglects the important questions of who and why. Because those are very important as well. So, this was 10 people, 10 experts, and it cost $2.4 million. It doesn't seem unreasonable to expect the 115-page Preventing Suicide in the U.S. Military Recommendations from the Suicide Prevention and Response Independent Review Committee report to identify at-risk personal subsets or personnel subsets more prone to suicide within the greater military population instead of a one-size-fits-all program requiring administrative bureaucracies and facility improvements and some cost estimates for those shouldn't have been too much to ask. And, of course, across-the-board restrictions on guns. And that's what this does. And while that fits in with the administration's biases and goals, as with the common sense gun safety schemes that focus on the inanimate object, it completely ignores the reality that firearm restrictions don't stop those motivated to acquiring them for an abusive purpose. They find a way. They have no problem doing so. The term firearm shows up 132 times in the report. The recommendations include things that have been tried over and over again for years in civilian life and never worked, as well as some military-specific infringements. Among the solutions identified by the review committee, substitute real due process with procedural due process regarding the collection and recording of information relating to the lawful acquisition, possession, ownership, carrying, or other use of a privately owned firearm or weapon by military personnel and civilian employees of the DOD. Have the lawyers figure out a way to bypass current legal protections so that information about firearm acquisition, possession, ownership, carrying, or other use of a privately owned firearm or weapon by military personnel and civilian employees of the DOD can legally be collected by program evaluators. So they want to create a registry within the military. Mandate safety training for privately owned firearms with 5-year renewals. Implement a 7-day waiting period for any firearm purchased on DOD property. develop a national database for recording serial numbers of firearms purchased on DOD property. Presumably, that information will still be available and accessible by a changeable list of authorized persons yet to be determined even after the service member has retired. Implement a four-day waiting period for ammunition purchases on DOD property to follow purchases and receipt of firearms purchased on DOD property. On DOD property, raise the minimum age for purchasing firearms and ammunition to 25 years. There's more. Locks, notifying command of purchases, registration, living quarters restriction, a total gun ban for visitors. Some of this has already been required. Some of this is not really new, but it wasn't required that the committee know this. So some of this may be redundant. Now, to show that they haven't fixated completely and exclusively on guns, the committee also recommends retrofitting shower and window curtain rods and closet rods that can break away with excessive load. Which, I don't know what kind of barracks people live in nowadays. The barracks that, in Germany and in the United States, they didn't have, high load curtain rods that I remember. They also want to ban discounts on and promotion of energy drinks. There's also an expectation that nominal training will allow store clerks to practice psychoanalysis without a license. We get this. Require military exchange personnel to complete skills-based training designed to recognize indicators of elevated emotional distress and effective methods for interacting with and responding to acutely distressed customers. Military exchange personnel who sell firearms and ammunition may be ideally positioned to identify and intervene with at-risk military personnel experiencing acute emotional distress. DSPO should create and implement customized suicide prevention training for military exchange personnel who sell firearms and ammo. The training should include content focused on observable indicators of emotional distress and skills training focused on approaching and effectively responding to distressed customers. Obviously, the people that work at the PX, they have really come up in the world since I was there. Looking at the experts that are involved in this, the study's lead is identified as Dr. Gail Iwamasa, who in addition to serving as the National Inpatient Mental Health Program Director at the VA, she also co-leads the Office of Mental Health and Suicide Prevention, their diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts, which is a relatively recent term. Looking back through the Internet Archive, just in 2016, the dictionary.com treated DEI as either Dutch East Indies or the Latin term word for God. It would appear it was not until mid-2021 that the term was updated on that site to include diversity, equity, and inclusion. And this makes it fair to wonder what recent, sudden, and dramatic social changes, expectations, and pressures the people in the military today are being subjected to at the moment. Especially noting that the DOD press release cited addressing stigma as a barrier to help seeking. Does the new woke military culture, with the potential to be humiliatingly and publicly canceled if one runs afoul of command and peer expectations, does that play a role? And what about reports that recruiting shortfalls have resulted in the Army lowering physical and academic standards? Is there a corresponding lowering of emotional health? Does lowering standards for women have any effect? The committee didn't look at that either. So, on the plus side, Lloyd Austin and Joe Biden have something new to show the press besides Obama-era empathy, pregnancy bellies, and high heels. They can act like they're doing something about the mess the years of mismanagement and neglect of the basics have created and are making things worse. But I'm going to let you in on a little secret. While all of this is out there in the news, for anybody, everybody and anybody to read, don't think for a moment that the Russians and the Chinese are not reading this as well. They're using this to whip up the fever of their troops to show that we don't have the will to fight, that we don't have what it takes to win. It's on display. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. We'll be right back.
25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
And welcome back. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Arrow Precision.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Check them out at arrowprecisionusa.com. Right now, California has gone from being the golden state to being a laboratory for oppressive and ineffective gun control, among other things. And for the most part, the proponents of these measures have kept up the charade that they have aimed at reducing crime accidents or suicides. But now some activists are becoming emboldened to drop the pretense and admit they simply want to do away with guns entirely. California Senate Bill 637 is a case in point. It is the sort of end-stage gun control that doesn't even attempt to distinguish between the bad actors and the law-abiding and simply seeks to suppress firearm-related activity. The point of the bill, introduced by Senator David Minn, Democrat from whatever the 37th district is nothing less than to end firearm-related commerce in the Golden State. As described by its sponsor, SB 637 would require every aspect of California's sprawling portfolio of public spending, including municipal bonds, capital projects, investments, pension systems, and more, to cut off business with any banks or lenders with business customers that manufacture firearms. Now, note that the bill is not aimed at banks that launder money for illegal firearm traffickers, nor does it limit itself to circumstances involving manufacturers that, while otherwise legal, produce any of the ever-increasing types of firearms that are prohibited from sale or possession in California. No, it's just aimed at manufacturers with above-board banking relationships, exactly the type that could survive the risk management scrutiny of the banks themselves, which itself is no easy task after Operation Choke Point and similar efforts which sought to make firearm-related commerce toxic. Any such bank, no matter what level of due diligence it applied to those relationships or how scrupulously managed and law-abiding the firearm manufacturer itself happened to be, would be punished by the state for participating in the sector of lawful constitutionally protected commerce. Simply put, it will isolate and segregate firearm manufacturers out of the innumerable types of lawful businesses operating in California and require banks to discriminate against them or face grave financial consequences and perhaps even shareholder actions for breach of fiduciary duty. Now, according to the press release announcing the bill, the state manages $3.1 trillion in banking transactions within a fiscal year. Wikipedia describes California as having the largest subnational economy in the world, with a nominal GDP that is exceeded only by four entire nations. And meanwhile, California has been cited as having the most burdensome tax structure in America. Its per capita state and local spending has also been ranked as the sixth highest in the nation. So it is therefore unlikely that any bank operating in California could or would be willing to forego any sort of business relationship with the state merely to continue servicing its gun manufacturing clients. Mr. Minn himself was not very coy about his intentions in announcing it, stating it would force Wall Street to make a choice between the blood money offered by the gun industry and doing business with the state of California. He also said it would send a strong market signal that the state of California will not, either directly or indirectly, finance gun violence. It's telling that doing business with a lawful gun manufacturer is indistinguishable in Minn's mind with financing gun violence. California gun owners and gun businesses have been hearing for years that additional burdens on their rights and livelihoods are necessary to enhance public safety. Now, having achieved the most gun control state in the nation is not enough for the likes of David Minn. And now extremists like him are forced to admit they simply want to stamp out the firearm industry altogether. Meanwhile, pro-gun states like Texas are taking affirmative action to combat discrimination against lawful, financially sound businesses in the firearm industry. Banks that have caved to the anti-gun politics are starting to experience real consequences in the Lone Star State, with Citicorp recently having been disqualified from a $3.4 billion municipal bond deal over its own refusal to conduct business with law-abiding members of the firearm industry. Similar legislation is now pending in Congress. Now, as of this moment, it's not clear that Mr. Minn's bill is attracting much support, even among the firearm prohibitionists who compose the majority of the California state legislature. But the very introduction it sends a signal that given the chance, gun controllers are not in it for the public safety. There is no difference to them between you and a criminal, the fact that you're a law-abiding has, you know, it doesn't enter into their calculus. They look at every gun company out there as being evil. And they take no responsibility from, you know, for any of the stuff that's happening in their state at the moment. They make no excuses for the fact that, well, you know, you've got like the wish list, don't you? So this isn't like, I don't know, what's the phrase I'm looking for? We've seen this coming out of California before. California wants, they are a leader, no doubt about it. They lead in gun control and in taxation and in being green in a lot of things. And everything they do is actually counterproductive. They're, you know, an internal combustion car, for example, from cradle to the grave is going to have less of a environmental footprint than a electric car. And when it finally goes, most of it can be recycled. Most of the electric car, the parts that are the most toxic, cannot. Cannot. All this taxation, right now, they have had so many people leave California that they're now facing, a shortfall. Right? And all of this gun control, all that's doing is crime is going up. I mean, it's just going up, 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 up. And in the interim, instead of actually doing something that would have some effect on crime, which would simply mean unleashing the gun owners of California, letting them go, letting them carry, let them deal with life the way life deals with them. And, you know, we can't do that because guns are evil. Blood money. It's almost like a stand-up comedy routine. So, California, okay. I hear you, California. I hear you. And good luck with that, too. You're the pestilence capital of the world. Who would say, how is it that the biggest subnational economy on the planet is the pestilence capital of the world? I'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment,
we perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
USA News Update. The U.S. Supreme Court has temporarily extended the stay on abortion pill restrictions. That extension only runs till Friday night. It's a move meant to give the justices more time to consider the issue. A Republican plan to raise the U.S. debt ceiling has been unveiled by House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Speaking on the House floor, he said the legislation will provide $4.5 trillion in savings and return discretionary spending to 2022 levels, capping spending at 1% per year. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. launched his 2024 bid for Democratic nomination for president in Boston today. He talked about the war in Ukraine and poverty in the U.S.
57% of Americans cannot put their hand on $1,000 if they have an emergency.
Kennedy is the oldest son of late New York Senator Robert F. Kennedy. He also runs an anti-vaccine charity that has often been criticized by fellow Democrats. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Aero Precision.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Check them out at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Quotes. People look at quotes. They cling on to quotes, and they look at the quote, and they'll use it if it suits the narrative. Which brings us to a quote, an alleged quote, from the late conservative Supreme Court Justice Warren Burger. The quote goes like this. The gun lobby's interpretation of the Second Amendment is one of the greatest pieces of fraud. I repeat the word fraud on the American people by special interest groups that I've ever seen in my lifetime. The real purpose of the Second Amendment was to ensure that the state armies, the militia, would be maintained for the defense of the state. The very language of the Second Amendment refutes any argument that it was intended to guarantee every citizen an unfettered right to any kind of weapon he or she desires. Now, if you actually find yourself in a debate with a skilled anti-gun debater, this may come up. Somebody's going to let you know that Berger believed an individual right to gun ownership was one of the greatest pieces of fraud perpetrated on the American people. And his line is ubiquitous. It can be found in the New Yorker, Slate, Politico, NPR, every major newspaper, and every anti-gun columnist pieced this. I mean, David Hogg is out there talking about it. The only problem with this popular online iteration of the quote is that it's actually cobbled together from three separate sources to give it more impact. But don't get me wrong now. Berger is mistaken in all instances, but he is mistaken in different contexts. Second problem is that the quote often reads as if Berger, the conservative who voted with the majority in Roe v. Wade, offered this argument as a member of the Supreme Court. No high court decision has ever defined the Second Amendment as anything but an individual right. And Berger never uttered a word about the Second Amendment while sitting on the court. For that matter, he never rendered a gun decision on any court, nor ever wrote a legal paper on the issue, and it shows. Then again, the collective right theory was only a recent invention of revisionist historians and anti-gun activists when Berger adopted it. It's also a tough one to sell to anyone who cares about history. Nearly every intellectual, political, and military leader of the founding generation, from John Adams to Thomas Jefferson to Benjamin Franklin to George Mason to Samuel Adams to George Washington to Patrick Henry to James Madison and so on, is on the record defending the individual right to bear arms. Not a single record of anyone in that era challenging the notion. Anyway, the part of the court about the gun lobby is taken from a 1991 PBS interview in which Berger erroneously argues that the 18th century conception of well-regulated was the same as the contemporary one, which is, well, I can't say it out loud. The notion that the state, much less the federal government, would be empowered to regulate what kind of weapons you owned would have been alien to a person in 1789. Regulated, well-regulated, simply means a well-pulled-together militia rather than a bunch of guys showing up with, you know, no two guys doing the same thing. He also maintains that the real purpose of the Second Amendment was to ensure that state armies would defend state populations. Now, that's an ungrammatical and ahistorical reading of the amendment. There was a debate over standing armies and control of the militias, but as late Antonin Scalia pointed out in Heller, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed is the operative clause in the Second Amendment. The well-regulated militia part is the prefatory clause. And it makes zero sense to read the prefatory clause as a nullification or even limitation to the operative clause. It's tantamount to arguing that because the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment or religion, it's not an individual right to petition a government for a redress of grievances. The Second Amendment also explicitly mentions the right of the people, people who generally use their own weapons, as militiamen, just as it does elsewhere in the Bill of Rights when protecting individual rights. Many colonies enshrined the individual right to bear arms in their constitutions before the Bill of Rights was even written, most of them in much more explicit terms. No state defined it as a collective right. Some Federalists argued that special protections in the Bill of Rights were unnecessary because there were so many guns in private hands that it was unimaginable any tyrannical army could ever be more powerful than the public. The other two parts of the quote are lifted from different passages in a column that Berger wrote for the Associated Press. And here he expands on his idea that guns should be regulated like cars. He says, although there's not a word or hint in the Constitution about automobiles and motorcycles, no one would seriously argue that a state cannot regulate the use of motor vehicles by imposing licensing restrictions and speed limits based on factors of driver's age, health condition, and driving record, and by recording every purchase and change of ownership. It is because automobiles and motorcycles, or transportation as an ideal, are not explicitly protected by the Constitution that you can heavily regulate those things. The better analogy would be due process or speech rights. But Berger wasn't a big fan of the First Amendment either, so. Besides all that, Berger should have known that Americans, even in 1991, did not have unfettered access to machine guns. In 1986, the Firearm Owners Protection Act made ownership of fully automatic weapons pretty rare. The Hughes Amendment. Anything made before that arbitrary date in 1986, that's all you can own. Berger also should have known that the Gun Control Act of 1968 established the first federal age limit for buying guns, and today there are tens of thousands of laws regulating gun ownership in the United States. That is not unfettered by any definition. Which makes me ask, how much did he actually know? How much did he actually know about what the Second Amendment meant? Some of the stuff that he's talking, I mean, honestly, I didn't go to school to be a lawyer. I've never served on a court. I've never been a police officer. I've never had to study law in any way, shape, or form. But I can tell you, just because I read, and maybe that's my strength. See, I don't read and try to see things in the subtext. I kind of think the Bill of Rights just simply means what it says. I'm sure there's nothing ambiguous about the Third Amendment. There's nothing in there that says you will not be forced to house troops in your house unless this or this or this or this happens. And to get out there and to try to make out like this was some sort of a word puzzle that we simply don't understand, but we do understand. We understand the vernacular of the time. Well-regulated meant trained and equipped the same way. That's what it meant. That's all it meant. As a matter of fact, a well-regulated civilian population would have automatic weapons because we're supposed to have all of the terrible implements of war. While we're out here arguing about what a dead guy said, we should be sitting around and actually saying to everybody out there that what the Second Amendment says is that we should be getting a voucher right now today for a very nice M4 with a selector switch on it. I know that may seem a little extreme for some of you, especially for those of you that don't want to have any kind of gun, but that's what it really does mean. So, you know, whenever that, if that particular quote comes up, just remember what to say. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare, and the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Aero Precision.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Check them out at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Excuse me. On Monday, we saw from David Hogg how he basically tried to rewrite the Second Amendment. Now, see, David basically goes the same way as Warren Burger did. And that's the thing. The talking points of the gun grabbers never changes. His particular little tweet pretty much illustrates his lack of understanding about the right, the history surrounding the right, or pretty much anything else. But then again, we're talking about David Hogg, so what do you expect? I wouldn't be surprised to see this little pencil neck run for office sometimes. He opted to double down instead of just letting his stupid comments mellow for a bit. Said, yes, I support the Second Amendment. I support your state's right to have a National Guard as the framers intended. If you want to have a gun, you ought to be part of that as a well-regulated militia. So the founding fathers intended for the states to have a National Guard, which is part of the Federal Department of Defense, as well as answering to state governors, something that actually did not exist in the 18th century, and not protecting an individual right to keep and bear arms at all. This is the generational nonsense we face. Hogg's take on this is not unique. And it's not unique, but it's still idiotic. And what's more, it's very insane. And by the statement, Hogg is basically saying if anyone wants to handle a gun, they need to be part of the military, even if it's the National Guard, which you don't actually handle a lot of guns in the military. You do during basic training for about 3 or 4 weeks of the basic rifle marksmanship. And then you do, when you go to the field, you have to carry them. But, I mean, it's not like you're out there going pew, pew, pew the whole time. Actually, you're probably just carrying around on a sling. And you have to keep track of it or you get in trouble. You might wonder how the police factor into this particular equation as well. Because law enforcement isn't part of the military, despite having ranks similar to the Army or to Marines. They're civilians, though admittedly many are part of some reserve component of the military. So do they have to get guns under Hogg's scheme? Or do they get to have them? Perhaps even more interesting, if they're not, just how am I supposed to call them and expect them to deal with a home invader if they don't have guns with which they can shoot back at the bad guy? Now, this is somebody that goes to Harvard. But he's making a hell of a case of why he was rejected by State College. And while Hogg and many like him love to claim that the individualist interpretation of the Second Amendment is modern, the truth is that if you look throughout American history, the reality is there's little to no evidence for that kind of claim. You cannot find it cropping up in writings from the time of the nation's founding until the 20th century, when it suddenly pops up and is taken as truth. This is what is referred to as a revisionist history in the making. Now, of course, the Second Amendment was an individual right despite mentioning militias. In those days, they showed up with their own weapons. They weren't issued anything. There was no concept that the government would provide weapons to militia members. They viewed part of the national defense, remember they were also distrustful of standing armies, being that private individuals would bring their private firearm to defend the country. Now, the idea now that no, they actually met the National Guard is perhaps the dumbest thing I've read from a guy who says a lot of stupid stuff. And he tends to lack any original thought, even on the subject he professes to be so passionate about. And this one is no different. So, young Mr. Hogg, you're peddling misinformation, though I think he actually believes what he is saying. Whatever state college he applied to dodged a bullet. Let's go to Portland. The iconic Nike store in Portland, Oregon has been closed since last fall. And there's been a sign on the door reading, closed for the next 7 days for months. And the reason for that closure was obvious. The store was being looted so often that it wasn't profitable, and the regular presence of criminals inside the building made the environment unsafe for workers or customers. So earlier this month, Nike sent a letter to Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler, pleading with him to help with the security situation. They proposed two plans that would allow Portland police to provide security inside the store, and the company was willing to foot the bill for their time. Which is normally where this is where the city gets up and says, oh, this is unfunded, we can't afford it, we don't have it in the budget. When you get out there and say, oh, but we got you, we're going to pay for it, you should be doing something for them. But as of now, the city is not dispatching any police to help, and they don't expect to do so for some time to come. But we get this from, I believe this is KGW8. On February 9th, Nike sent a letter to Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler and city officials asking for more police at their MLK community store, which has been closed for months because of ongoing retail theft. The shoe brand even proposing to pay law enforcement directly if they would bring them the protection they were requesting. They proposed two options. The company was open to creating an intergovernmental agreement with the city of Portland to directly fund full-time police officers who would be selected to police the store. A second option would be to pay off-duty Portland Police Bureau officers as contracted security. Now, two obvious questions here to address is, why can't Nike just bus in their own security? And the other question is, why isn't Ted Wheeler's government offering any help? The answer to the first issue is simple enough. Nike does have security officers, but they're not allowed to physically intervene to prevent people from committing property crimes. They can only step in if someone is physically attacked. The looters figured that out pretty quick and just began robbing the store in front of the security guards with impunity. And you never know when one of them might turn out to be violent, so safety remains a concern. Nike wants actual police officers in the store because they could intervene and arrest the looters in the act. That would send a powerful message to the looting community, letting them know that the candy store is closed and normal shopping could resume. Nike is willing to either set up a method for them to pay the police directly or hire off-duty police. But the city insists that neither plan will be possible because they don't have enough officers to cover their current shifts across the city. The individuals that are still there are making overtime right now just to put enough cops on the streets, and there's none to spare to help Nike reopen. Because they got what they wanted, right? They got what they wanted. They wanted the anarchy. They got the anarchy. They're trying to hire more cops, but they do not have enough interested recruits who have passed the Department of Public Safety standards and training. This is the hangover of the Summer of Love and beyond. The police in Portland were demonized by the leftist protesters in their own government. Portland slashed the police budget in June of 2020 in response to the BLM riots, and crime predictably soared. They partially restored the police budget in November 2021, but it was too little, too late. Now they're going through the long process of trying to reestablish enough trust with law enforcement to attract qualified candidates to bring the Portland PD staffing levels up to where they need to be. And in the meantime, Nike and everybody that works at the Nike store and everybody that shops at the Nike store and the little ecosystem that supported Nike and everything else, that all remains shut. A victim of anarchy. A victim of Antifa, a victim of BLM, a victim of leftist policy. Closed. Because they were losing so much money to theft, it just didn't make any sense to be open. Security in there that couldn't do anything about it, it's pathetic. It's pathetic. And this is what you voted for, Portland. I'm sorry as I can be, this is happening to you. And maybe things will get a little bit better when all of those states secede from you and become part of Idaho. I don't know if that'll help Oregon out any. I just don't know. We'll see. We'll see. We have hour number two inbound. We are going to hook up and geek out with Zeke Stout. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
I need to pay bills. When is my tax refund coming?
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
I need to set up a payment plan. How do I do that?
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
I need help with my taxes. Does the IRS offer free help?
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Need answers to your tax questions? Go to irs.gov.